Good morning, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay at 7:39, and Chief Eric Randall, the Pensacola Police Chief for the last couple of years, is joining us now by phone. Chief, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning, and thank you for having me back. It's a pleasure to be here, Andrew.
Always good to have you. A couple of big news stories involving what you guys are doing, and none of them are crimes. There's not bad news this week. It's been relatively, ordinary. I won't say the Q word, but you know, it's been no major incidents, and I always appreciate that.
Never say the word, and I need to knock on some wood. So.
No, it's all good. It's all good. So obviously, the two big stories of the week were, number one, D.C. Reeves, the mayor of Pensacola, announced the red light camera initiative, which he'd been previewing previously. But man, I was looking at some of this the red light running data and the crash data. And this, to me, seems like the sort of no-brainer that I know Tommy Leiter worked on for a long time, but it's sort of no-brainer. Like, man, thank God, finally, it can't happen fast enough, in my opinion.
Yeah, Andrew, I'll tell you, when you really start looking at data, the data tells the story. And I just took a snapshot the other day and looked at, last 5 years for crash data from 2018 up to just 2022, because we're not finished with 2023 yet. And that was like 15,000 traffic crashes. In the city, just in the city of Pensacola.
Man.
And you got to imagine, each one of those crashes requires an officer. We spent about 5,000 hours, and that's just calculating one officer in working 1 year crashes. And I want to say it was in 2022, the year we looked at for that. But like I was talking about the other day, most of our crashes are on, the major arteries and a thoroughfare where there are, it requires traffic control. So there's multiple officers that respond to these incidents. But also think about the property damage, the personal injury, and things of that nature that comes along with this. And then the increased insurance rates because of these crashes and things of that nature.
Yeah, I agree completely. If you can get people to not run red lights, then you will get people to not cause crashes. And if you can get people to not cause crashes, then you save lives, you save, health impact from people who are not killed but injured, medical bills, presumably you're right, insurance rates could theoretically go down and damage to cars and other things. I mean, and also you will free up an awful lot of time for Pensacola police officers to be responding to calls for service instead of having to handle these traffic incidents and the traffic congestion that is caused by these instances. It's sort of an all of the above benefits. I found it very starkly surprising not to look so much at the red light running data, although surely that is very like, what are you people doing on Fairfield? Like, do you know there's lights on Fairfield? But I looked at the crash map that showed where you have the highest concentration historically of crashes, and it's really two places. It's clustered around Airport and Brent on 9th Avenue. That's one bright red spot on the map, and then downtown, and there's kind of a zone of effects here, but around Palafox Garden up to Cervantes, over to 9th Avenue, even over as far as 17th, Gregory and Chase are clearly problematic areas, which I know anybody who drives there, you would agree that that's probably a problematic area. But the highest number of red light runnings is the westbound on Gregory going to 110 across 9th Avenue. If we could just get those two areas under control, major change to people's quality of life, right?
Yeah, major change in people's quality of life. And like I said, we're still, evaluating all the approaches and intersections and looking at the data. And to give you a little snapshot of something, this is just crashes at intersections. And I'm just, like I said, I got about 9 years worth of data, but I'm going to tell you just 5 years worth of data. Ninth and Bayou, 260 crashes at their intersection. Davidson Fairfield, 265. 9th and Airport, 235. And then you talked about 9th and Gregory down there, 119. And that's just in five years. And that's just at the intersection.
Yeah.
That doesn't count things that may have happened, mid block and things of that nature. But that's just at the intersection. I mean, that is a lot of lives that are impacted. Not only those that are involved in the crash, but those that witnessed the crash and those that may be impacted by the crash itself because of the traffic impact and rerouting and things of that nature. So, I mean, there's a lot to this.
Absolutely. And, I was very surprised by the Fairfield numbers that all the lights at Fairfield, apparently nobody can see the traffic lights on Fairfield, that they go straight through those all the time. That's wild to me. Looking at the program itself, and we talked about this a bunch with the mayor yesterday, but one of the follow-up questions that I had from people, and I know what I think the answer is, but I want to make sure I can get it from you. If somebody borrows my car, you know, and puts on a Halloween mask, you know, and runs a red light, who's getting that ticket? How does that work?
Man, you added a lot to that scenario, Andrew. So in the process, there'll be a affidavit where people can file and say, hey, such and such was using my car on such and such date and time, and then it will be transferred over to that particular person, because if you're not operating the vehicle, you let somebody else use it. I mean, that's the responsibility of the person that was using it. But it'll be a sworn affidavit. Now, if you swear on an affidavit, you provide false information, and it's found that it's false information, that can be a second degree misdemeanor too.
I gotcha.
You got to always tell the truth. Be honest about it. So don't be just trying to provide false information.
Trying to get out of it. So I had thought, and I think I said it on the air yesterday, that you typically will get a photo of not just the license plate front and back, but also, or at least back, and you'll also get a photo of the car across the red line, that there's video basically from which they draw this information to make sure that you got all the pieces together. I was under the impression that there would also be a snapshot of the driver, so you'd be able to say, well, that was not your wife, sir, you know, that kind of stuff. Is that true?
It depends on how the camera's positioned and things of that nature. But yeah, there's a lot of photographic and video evidence that comes with that.
Okay.
And you know, these programs, the individual, the citizen, has the ability to go in and look at that for themselves as well. So it's okay. Not like anything is, you know,
so they can review it.
Yes sir.
Okay. One of the questions that I just had was, obviously Gulf Breeze has been using this for years. I assume that you guys did this in consultation with Chief Hawthorne, got lessons and notes from them, as well as, you know, studied some other municipalities around either the area or maybe out of the area. I don't know if where you come from originally, if they do it there, you know, where you come from intermediate. But I assume those kind of talks went on to, you know, because you learn stuff by doing it. You learn what not to do, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. We've had plenty of conversations with the staff over in Gulf Breeze.
Good.
And other entities state. And where I came from in Virginia, we had the red light cameras there too. So,
oh, okay. Good.
But we've been in heavy talks with our partners here locally and then around the state in reference to those that already have the programs and just trying to learn a lot from them as well.
The projected reduction in red light running, the 60%, just because you put the signs up, or 65, I forget which way it is, but then the follow-on 60 to 65% drop, in total something like an 80% drop overall, immediate and then subsequent. Is that kind of the nationwide average? Is that what we're seeing typically?
Yeah, that's from studies that's been done on the nationwide average of nationally what they're seeing from these programs, the institution of these programs and things of that nature.
Very good. Okay. And I'm looking, I mean, I hope it works. I hope the mayor is right. I hope it's such a low revenue generator for the company that we have to actually pay them to maintain a much safer environment for us. That would be a fine expense, in my opinion. The other thing that you guys announced this week, again, I think a very big development, is the Northern Substation on Pensacola State Campus, which is not a public substation like you think of the sheriff's office on W Street or something like that, but it is a place for your officers to drop off body cam, do reports, take a break, and not have to go all the way downtown to Haines Street, right?
Yeah, yes, sir. This is our ability to be able to start decentralizing policing services, and our first start at it this phase is to open this substation up on Pensacola State College in the north end of the city to be more effective in delivering police services to our citizens in the north end of the city.
And the way I was kind of talking about this the other day, you correct me if I'm wrong, is if you can eliminate 20% drive time from the typical officer shift, and I don't, maybe the number's higher than that, from somebody who's working in the northern portion of the city, and they don't have to go down all the way to the main office and back up a couple times a day, that's in effect like hiring 20% more officers, because you've amplified the time on the time on beat by 20%, right?
Yeah, so we try to give the officers 40% time each hour to be And like I said, this is kind of national standard. You know, you want to try to get 40% of the officer's time to be proactive. Proactive policing is, you know, visibility, high visibility, shopping centers and neighborhoods and communities, foot patrols, doing other community policing thing, items like that. So when you factor in, you know, 15, 20, 30 minutes, however it is to go to one way, to go completely outside of your district to handle paperwork and other miscellaneous administrative things, I mean, just think if something happens, you have to take a simple call or a major call. You have to go back, you know, traverse the other end to the other end of the city. And depending on traffic conditions and weather conditions, things of that nature, it hampers public safety. And our residents in the north end of the city deserve a north end substation. And we're big enough now. I mean, Pensacola continues to grow. We got a lot of great things going on in the city. And that's one of the things about a city that's growing and thriving. You know, we got to look at new ways of doing stuff.
No, I'm a supporter. I think it's a great plan. I love that it's happening. Last thing, you guys are going to be involved at the air show, the homecoming air show at NAS Pensacola this weekend?
Yes, sir. We'll be out there. We'll be out there live and in color. We'll be out there with the Blue Angels Tahoe. We'll have a booth set up, spreading good cheer. And those want to come out and, you know, see the Blue Angels Tahoe, take some photos with it, photos with the officers, get to meet some of Pensacola's finest. Come on out. I think it's a great time. It's always a great weekend at Homecoming Air Show. I'll be out there myself on Saturday, so I hope to see all our residents out there.
Are we going to see a drag race between the Tahoe and the Escambia County Sheriff's Office Corvette?
I don't think so, not this weekend, Andrew.
Well, a boy can dream. Chief Eric Randall, Chief of Police. What's that?
I said, it ain't how you start, it's how you finish. I always say that.
And how much gear you can take with you. I mean, you know, let's be honest. A Corvette's not the most police tactical equipment friendly. So, Chief Eric Randall, Pensacola Police Chief, sir, as always, thank you for the time. Thanks for helping keep our community safe, sir. I appreciate it.
No, thank you for everything you do to the community as well. And thank you for all this great Pensacola community as well. Thank you.
Absolutely. 752 on News Radio 92.3.